Greetings, good listeners. You are tuning in to Otherworldly Giants, the Divination Channel. This is magical reality TV for the revolution, a multiverse podcast drama about a queer witch and her two black cats, live in Technicolor, communicating with us from the spirit realm. And it's also about how that witch met her future partner, who she hasn't met yet. And also, it's about a crazy planet who just happened to manifest global freedom for her entire body, with the help of the Chosen Many, of course, that's us, and with the help of a boisterous, miraculous ancestor's writer's room. Oh, and they did it in our lifetime. In this episode, we pause for a brief interlude as we share with you a very important PSA on what do we do about humanity? Here, we're going to offer some thoughts as to how to repair the field of manifestation for global freedom. In the process, I also want to tell you about a very exciting collective artist fundraiser I am hosting over the next 3 months, August to October 2024. In this fundraiser, I'm inviting folks to study with me pillars, protocols, prophecies, promises, parables, in dedication to the earth and freedom for her whole body. Not next time, but in our lifetime. Those who want to get really involved will have the option to get paid just for learning with me and sharing what you learn with others. You heard me. There is a way. Money in your and my bank account. Get comfy, dear listeners. I'll tell you all about it. Hi, everyone. I'm back. Oh my gosh. I left you all on a cliffhanger. Two, in fact. And then I said I'd be back in a few days, and then I disappeared for more than a month. It turns out I am an unreliable narrator. But am I really an unreliable narrator, really? This is Otherworldly Giants. I am back a few days later, in giant time, like a few giant steps later. I'm not being cute, it's a thing. Because who needs capitalist time, am I right? So let's address the two cliffhangers. In our previous episode, our absolutely magnificent rock and rollin' supersized 40th birthday special, which was dropped on my 40th birthday, that's June 13th, please mark your calendars for next time. That episode is called The Wolf Who Stopped Time. It's a multiverse origin story about why the Earth's core stopped spinning for the entirety of Pluto in Capricorn, i.e. the last 15 years. In the episode, we meet the wolf, i.e. the protagonist, who travels to the Emerald Mountains and meets a witch on every direction, the west, north, east, and south. Then the wolf gets blasted from the 3D into the fourth dimension, breaking the fourth wall, you might say, and then coming all the way back into the center, into the core of the earth. You might say it's deep within time itself. You might say it's the centerpiece of an altar. It seems like the story is complete, but it's not. Right at the end, an antagonist appears. Someone the wolf has to confront. That's where we have our first cliffhanger. Or is it a game changer? There's a difference. We'll talk about it later. The episode ends with our protagonist watching her antagonist appear from the ether, becoming matter right before her eyes, and the wolf says, I know her. I don't like her. And that's where we end. I hate to break it to you folks, but I never had the intention of telling you who that antagonist is in the following episode. Because that's a story for another day. We'll get to it eventually. Now for the second cliffhanger. Was me speaking to you straightforwardly at the end of the episode. I shared that I have been having challenges around finding success for my work, my overall business, i.e. Otherworldly Giants, Creation Company, and Storytelling School, including this podcast, and the financial stress that comes with that. I said that I would be back in a few days with some changes I'm making, some updates, requests, and offerings. So, a few giant steps later, I am back with exactly that. And I'm not going to leave you hanging by a moment, not this time. The truth is, I've been trying to land something, and I didn't want to come back until it really landed. Now, I'm happy to announce my solution, my offering, and my invitation. Between August to October 2024, I am hosting a 3-month collective artist fundraiser. It's like fundraiser and also fundraiser, dedicated to the principle, heal yourself, heal your lineages, heal the world. Cue rambunctious cheering in the background. Oh, wait, this is a podcast. I can actually do that. Here. Over the next 3 months, I'll be taking folks through a process of self-study, global study, and multiverse study, revolving around this project, Magical Reality TV for the Revolution, and the Ancestors Writers Room that I channel these stories with. So this Magical Reality TV series in development, right now it's in this podcast form. It can grow into so many things in the future, including an animated series, staged live musical theater, and maybe even an actual reality TV series, like the queer, anti-ableist, abolitionist, decolonizing survivor witches version of Love is Blind, except nothing like that mess, with like actual consensual, mutually reciprocal ethical practices behind the scenes that prioritizes human dignity. Imagine that. And it's all ancestor guided. We can call it, I don't know, Love is Ceremony, or Love That Breaks the Rules. I've actually talked about this with my friends. Like, we're seriously interested in creating reality TV for the revolution. Because let's be real, we're all nosy as fuck. We are starved for genuine human connection. We want to be let into each other's worlds. We want to allow ourselves to be deeply known and seen by one another. We want to witness the inner workings of each other's lives and share them too. Artists and storytellers have always been the ones to put themselves on the line to give us collective intimacy. It's what I've been doing on this podcast since I started in September 2022. I'm sharing my life with you. The fantastical, ever-evolving, imperfect, sometimes unreliable narrator version of my life. This isn't your average storytelling. It's live memoir writing as ancestral communion, oracular visioning, quantum time traveling, ancestral edutainment, and artistic, erotic energy healing. We're starved for genuinely good options for art and entertainment, and I mean that energetically. I watch those reality TV shows too, and as people who are energetically open, we have to be aware that these big capitalist multiverse conglomerate corporations, they dose us with intergalactic capitalist colonial energetics when we consume media. What I offer with this podcast is a sovereign alternative to that. I'm not just a storyteller, I'm an energy healer and an energetic surgeon. I infuse my deepest healing into all the stories that I tell, backed up and protected by my ancestors' writers' room. When you listen to my stories, you're not getting that capitalist colonial conglomerate. You're getting ancestors dedicated to dismantling and healing ourselves out of that. I'm not above the mess, but my purpose is to heal out of it. Plus, consent is written into the foundation of my energy healing that I deliver through my storytelling, which means nothing I share via energy will ever unlock anything a listener doesn't consent to in their spiritual and holistic body. What I'm saying is, when I call this project Magical Reality TV for the Revolution, I mean it's truly revolutionary. Reality TV designed to heal you? Instead of bombard you with the worst of white, hetero, capitalist, cringe nonsense that fries your brain cells? This podcast is the imperfect first draft expression of the many things this story could grow into, and it's also excellent and complete, just as it is, every episode. This story does have a name, which I haven't said yet, but I will right now. The name of this Magical Reality TV series in development is This Is How We Live and Die. Like I said, I have been sharing episodes since September 2022. While I am so proud of the 18 episodes I've published so far, I haven't had the resources I need to publish more frequently or promote it properly. That's why I haven't found the success I need. I haven't been able to grow an audience or build and nurture a space to grow an audience. The intensity and enormity of medicine that has been charging through my energy field, especially since October 7th, has been truly overwhelming. I literally have thousands, if not tens of thousands of pages on my laptop of channeled stories packed full of ancestral wisdom that want and need to be shared with the world. The escalation of intensity since October 7th is not a coincidence. Rather, it's a very clear indication that my medicine is ferociously needed by the collective. But here's my problem. I do an ungodly amount of unpaid, creative, spiritual, erotic, community service work every day, like I have been doing for my now 40 years on the planet. There is a huge creative, erotic, spiritual practice that I steward and wield behind my ability to show up here and share an episode of podcast TV with you. I've been exhausting myself, trying to figure out how to conjure all this medicine into offerings that people will want to pay for. And I'm stressed about paying the bills every month. But that cycle makes it so I'm not actually delivering the medicine as well as I could. I could be showing up online more, sharing my voice more, having more fun, meaningful conversations about art, magic, and humanity in public. But the reality is, I'm a planetary energy healer. I needed time to work through the density of energy in my field before I could land a container for reciprocity and mutual exchange, where the ground is really good. Ground that can grow the kind of community I want to sustain for the long term. There's your leak. There's your time loop. There's the root of the problem. I needed more time. I live my life according to giant time. Ancestral time. The more powerful I grow in my capacity as a healer, the less I can fit myself into capitalist time and all its requirements. I am excellent at my job as an artistic planetary healer. I know in my bones exactly what I should be doing in my process at any given moment, including the times I am just supposed to be still. If the topic for today is how to repair the field of manifestation for global freedom, this is what's broken in my personal field of manifestation and why, after almost 2 years of this podcast, why I haven't manifested success. My problem isn't that I haven't figured out how to monetize my offerings or that I don't know what to do. My problem is that I already have the money in my hands, but there is no culture around collectively resourcing the part of the process where I need to sit. A lot of people on this life path, healing, creativity, you know in your bones what you're supposed to be doing at any point in your life. You know what you're supposed to be doing for yourself, your lineage, and your planet. But we rush through the parts, or we get stressed as fuck when they appear, or we push them away because we know we won't get paid for that part of the process. Or we don't have the collective encouragement and support to engage that part of the process, which is actually the bigger problem. The bigger problem is good news, because that's where we have the power to solve the problem. For example, what would it mean to build a movement that actively shifts our culture to find ways of resourcing the entire life path? Not just when we're offering divinations, readings, coachings, or products with no break. Not exhausting ourselves with multiple jobs and doing the most important thing on the side. What about giving artists and creatives a break from constant content creation and hustling and then feeling demoralized when we're failing to pay the bills? What about resourcing parts of the process we intuitively feel we have to rush through and thus not properly serve? Here are some examples of the process that are underserved and under-resourced. The learning phase, where you're studying and developing creative and spiritual gifts. The inner healing work of dismantling and ancestral retrieval. creative incubation and exploration periods where you don't know what you're doing, just that you have to play. Holding stillness and patience for major transformation instead of rushing toward clarity and results that you can sell. Moving through heartbreak and great times of loss. The end of life phase with loved ones, or even ending and transitioning major chapters of your life where you're just supposed to spend time, enjoy, celebrate, grieve, provide, and receive care. What about childcare, animal care, earth stewardship, elder care, solitude, and self-care? What about advocacy, content creation, writing, sharing, popular education? How about daily devotional practices like altar keeping and altar carrying? The time and effort it takes to generate funds for huge projects? The focus, innovation, and communal support required to end cycles of self-sabotage, addiction, or leaving abusive and misaligned relationships where there is dependency? What about times of illness or recovery where your only job isn't anything other than taking care and being cared for? Times of receiving and healing your erotic body where your job isn't anything other than experiencing pleasure and sharing that with others? Times of adventure where you must release all the ways you've taken too much responsibility in the collective and now your job is to embrace spontaneity, fun, and let spirit move you wherever it'll take you. And on and on. Here's your first study prompt in this 3-month fundraiser. What else you got? What other parts of the creative process are underserved and underfunded? What parts of your life, your effort, your unseen labor do you need money on right now? That's what this campaign is about. Yes, it does revolve around me and generating resources into this specific project and my ability to sustain my work. It's about putting money on my name, paying myself well, and paying myself back for 40 years of community service, forward and backward. But it's also making space for collective, innovative solutions. It's about putting myself on the line as a public possibility model. It's calling in the ancestors together in spirit of finding exactly what we need, all of us, to thrive in every single part of our life path. Whether you want to call it the life path of an ancestral artist, a planetary healer, an extraordinary, ordinary human who wants to be a good steward of this particular stretch of time that we are alive for. This campaign is about reminding myself and you that the Earth herself requires you and me to be very well taken care of and very well resourced to do our jobs. Meaning helping her turn this beat around. Helping her, our earth, our living elder and ancestor, find freedom for her whole body. Not next time, in our lifetime. I want to help us shift the culture so that we can stop running around trying to figure out how to make ends meet so that we can do our jobs, and instead put money on the job itself. There's a difference. Do you see it? So here's what I'm offering for the next 3 months. I'm going to show up more regularly, and I don't mean in giant time. I mean, I commit. Okay, I commit. I'm committed. I'm a committee. I will show up consistently across my digital and social media platforms, consistently sharing new episodes, consistently like I'll be out here like it's my full-time job, which it is. I'll be doing what I've already been doing, just more of it, a better job at delivering the medicine because I will be resourced well enough to do so. I'm taking a risk because it has to be a collective effort. I literally can't do this alone. That's the whole point. But I know where I am in my creative process. This is leap of faith time, people. I am jumping. During these 3 months, I'll be utilizing my signature ancestral technology, open heart surgery storytelling, and sharing more stories with my ancestors' writer's room. I'll be going back into the stories and performing surgery with writer-director commentary. I.e. unlocking and opening all the gems found in each story. Teachings, insights, planetary directives, principles, protocols, pillars, prophecies, promises, and parables. All guiding us and unraveling us toward those three words in our lifetime. Those who want to get the most out of the medicine I share will want to grab a VIP backstage pass. With this pass, you'll get exclusive parts of the reality TV series that are for inner circle eyes and ears only. VIP members will also meet twice a month, six times between August and October for closed group Zoom sessions to support you and us as a group to find exactly what we need to thrive. With an Ancestors Writer's Room on our side, we really can't lose. The most exciting part, everyone with a backstage pass will have the option to get paid to help me promote this podcast and this campaign. You get paid every time you rant and rave about how much you're learning from this campaign to your friends and they decide to sign up too. You get a 21% commission for each person you bring into this world because 21 is the world card in tarot. If that sounds intimidating, fear not. I will be offering training, tips, tools, suggestions, and coaching on how you can organize yourself to make the most out of commissions. You'll have support. It'll be fun. You can bring your own financial goals into the process and meet them easily and efficiently. And you don't have to do that either. You can just like come in and learn and receive. So you're going to want to check out all the show notes for the links to look at this campaign. Follow and subscribe. Definitely join if it's lighting up your spirit as well. So in this PSA, public service announcement, I wanted to speak to a question that we are all asking. What do we do about humanity? I'm hearing a lot of people in the collective say things like, I don't know what to do. What do? How do we get ourselves out of the mess we're in? How do I personally be in service to this moment? What is the role of an artist or healer or concerned human during these times? A lot of spiritual people across diverse spiritual communities don't get involved in what they think of as anything political. They may feel really centered in their guidance, but they're like, well, the major suffering on the planet via militarized violence and intentional genocide against Black and Indigenous communities, rape culture, patriarchy, etc. Oh, we don't get involved in that. I can't live like that. My spirituality is deeply engaged with all that's happening on the planet. I am concerned with freedom for her whole body. From that perspective, what do we do about humanity? Let's address that question with exactly what we do here, open heart surgery. Let's look at our previous episode for guidance. What does the wolf who stopped time have to say about this? Before the wolf visits each direction, at the beginning of the story, she collapses in the backyard in front of the Witch of the West. The witch then calls on her team of surgeons, and they do a full-bodied assessment of the wolf's injuries, and they perform a repair. Let's look at the exact energetic surgery, or spell, that they perform to heal the wolf. First, they begin their assessment. The wolf is bleeding in the stomach. The heart is really weak. The ankle looks cracked. The stomach wound is the core issue. That means this is about the solar plexus, says one of the surgeons. As for the southeast ankle, the field of manifestation is broken. Yes, you're right, says the other, but it's the heart that needs serious attention. The heart is key. I want to show you how I think, as an altar keeper, a ceremonialist, an energetic surgeon. First, I am in awe of the Ancestors Writer's Room and the medicine that flows through me. I am in awe of how this medicine directs and guides me and illuminates things in my own story that I didn't see when I was writing it. Just by going back and studying my own work, I am offered mysteries and surprises. I looked at my script and I was like, oh shit, the surgery that the wolf needs on the southeast ankle is also the surgery our collective needs in order to manifest global freedom. I mentioned that I am an altar keeper and an altar carrier. The witches you met in the Emerald Mountains are a tribute to some of my dearest teachers in my soul-shifting community, who is the community that spiritually raised me over the last 8 years. This community is where I've been initiated into the particular kind of altar carrying and planetary service work that I do. For example, the Wicked Witch of the South that you met aka Dr. Love, is a throw to the creator and visionary space holder of the soul-shifting community, Dr. G. Love, aka Gerald Robinson. When I channel these characters through the Ancestors Writers Room, they're not just one voice or one identity. In some ways, the Wicked Witch of the South is me. In some ways, she's one of the grandmother goddesses reflected through an asteroid that lives conjunct my midheaven, i.e. the top of my birth chart, the field of legacy and career. In some ways, she's my grandmother reflected in the land of Tuckeranto. In some ways, she's the mama bird who you met several episodes back. She's also a version of Jupiter in my play, Pluto, who shapeshifts and appears as a cranky local psychic. Undoubtedly, she is a tribute to Dr. G. Love. I made a conscious choice to write all four witches very close to four of my teachers in the soul-shifting community because I really wanted to call them out and give them tribute. I added Easter eggs and little nudges and winks to make it clear who I was talking about. Because the whole point of that episode, which is reflected in the conversation the Witch of the West has with the wolf around the kitchen table, emphasizing the importance of recognizing our teachers. I am a proud Pachacuti Mesa carrier. And I do mean proud as in gay. The Pachacuti Mesa is a Peruvian indigenous spiritual tradition. This altar is specifically an altar of great world transformation. I am initiated and adopted into this tradition under the loving guidance of my beloved teacher, Dr. G. Love. I want to be clear that what it means to be lovingly, consensually welcomed, mutually chosen, initiated and adopted through proper protocol into a tradition that isn't your bloodline is not the same thing as spiritual appropriation. The elders, ancestors, and creators of the Pachacuti Mesa have opened this tradition to diverse lineages, cultures, and races with the purpose of sharing its medicine with the wider world. This includes the originator of the tradition, whose name is Don Oscar Miro Quesada, who is my teacher's teacher, Dr. G's teacher. Spiritual appropriation is a huge problem. It shows up in a lot of ways that people don't realize. Some people who are not spiritually appropriating get unfairly targeted, while those who are doing it get away with it, get celebrated for it in insidious ways, even by those who say that they're against it. The topic of spiritual adoption is vast and complex, similarly complex as conversations about other kinds of adoption. I want to have conversations about all of it, but it needs its own container, so that'll have to be for another day. For now, I'll say the soul-shifting community of Pachacuti Mesa carriers is especially unique. This is a multicultural space where all races are welcome, and it's also a predominantly queer Black community where we are all devoted to protecting Black freedom, Black healing, and dismantling anti-Blackness within, all around, and anywhere we can find it. This is a space devoted to cross-cultural ancestral solidarity. That's my sincere personal devotion as well, and the devotion of my sacred space, otherworldly giants. The spiritual community who raised me is one that prioritizes the voices of survivors, the wisdom and prowess of our transcestors. And it has anchored me, protected me while I did some real fucking scary lineage dismantling over the last 8 years. This community, especially its teachers and space holders, have held me while I retrieved and remembered so much of what has been lost and desecrated and all but wiped out in my own blood, chosen, and star lineages. They are the reason why I have the ability to share my medicine with you on this podcast and beyond. My translation of the Pachacuti Mesa, an altar of great world transformation, is those three words that we put on the end of our greatest freedom movements. Free Palestine. Free Sudan. Free Haiti. Free Congo. Free Turtle Island and everywhere on our planet's body. Land back for all of it. abolition of all systems and cultures of supremacy on all timelines and dimensions, including within, the end of rape culture, the end of anti-blackness, the end of witch hunting, the end of carceral culture, the end of militarized violence, the end of overly intellectualized academic self and collective injury, the end of extraction culture globally and in intimacy, the end of savior complex, and a return to the true spirit of generosity, mutual reciprocity, and reparations now. The end of capitalism and a return to true ceremonial, otherworldly, and communal ways of living. Not next time, this time, in our lifetime. So when I said, oh shit, the surgery the wolf needs on the southeast ankle is also the surgery our collective needs. On the altar I work with, the southeast field is the field of manifestation. When I see there is something broken on the wolf's southeast ankle, the field of manifestation, I'm looking at the wolf's body as an altar. I'm looking at the wolf as a fractal of a larger collective altar for planetary freedom. Like, oh shit. Look at what I just did while writing this rock'em sock'em, homeward-bound, fun frolic through the Emerald Mountains, because Wicked is my favorite musical. Sorry, not sorry. I know it's ableist. We'll talk about it later. And I've been watching the trailer to the new Wicked movie nonstop. But also, look at what I just did. This whole script is an antidote. This whole script lays out the journey of repair for the thing that's broken. Our inability as a species to manifest global freedom. The script isn't giving us straightforward answers, but it's asking some of the most important questions and it's showing us the way. What would happen if we studied this script like a map? What happens if you study the spell the surgeons cast on the wolf in order to heal him? Then look at, consequently, what does the wolf have to confront on every direction, every element? When the wolf visits each witch of the west, north, east, south, if you really look at it, in each direction the script is confronting something about humanity. So when I title this episode, PSA, what do we do about humanity? I'm like, well, I just told you in the last episode. What do you want me to say now? Looking at the script as a map, that is the answer. It's saying this is the process of repair. You have to visit every direction. You can't leave one out. And then, whoa, you get blasted into the fourth dimension? Now everything about reality is being questioned. Precisely what this podcast is about. What do you mean Shanga met her future partner before they ever met? What do you mean her abilities with psychic and oracular visioning, ancestral communication are so fucking clear and powerful that she could have a whole ass relationship with someone in spirit before they even meet? Now we're saying, you want to get to global freedom? You can't leave magic out of it. You have to reckon and confront the otherworldly. We have to let ourselves expand as a species and beyond what we thought was possible. Or am I just an unreliable narrator? What's a dream? What's a lie? You don't have to listen to me. I said this on a previous episode. It's not about what I think. It's about what you believe. I'm an artist. My job is just to run my mouth off. It's not to make you believe in anything. Or is it? Isn't that all an artist ever does? Make you believe? So we visit every direction. We blast to the fourth dimension, and then we come home. Where's home? Is it the core of the earth, the centerpiece of an altar, or is it somewhere deep within time? Deep within the heart of a broken heart, which is unbroken. I'm saying that you could go back into my script and study what is happening in every direction, go out into space, then come back to the heart of the earth. You could go real deep if you wanted to and unlock riches upon riches of invaluable insight sorely needed by the collective for these current times. There's your answer to the question. How do we be in service as artists in a revolutionary way? Hello, look at me. I'm doing it right now. I've been doing it My problem is that I'm also doing an ungodly amount of unpaid, creative, spiritual, erotic community service work as I have been for the last 40 years. When I hear people asking that question, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to be in service as an artist or a healer or a human. I guess I'll just do this. What I hear energetically underneath that is panic, guilt, uncertainty, desperation, confusion, confused about how to show up in this moment, what to do and who to be. When I say that I am in service as an artist, a healer, and a human, I am not confused. I'm not perfect, but I'm not confused. Don't get me wrong. I am a regular, royal mess. I have an existential crisis every other day. I'm constantly confused, constantly showing up to my altar like, ancestors, what do I do about this? What do I do about that? You have no idea how hard it was for me to finally put this fundraiser down. I struggled, people. I suffered. Remind me to tell you about the night I sat on my bed calling out to my ancestors, give me solutions! You know, like Jennifer Love Hewitt screaming to the sky and I Know What You Did Last Summer? What are you waiting for? If you know, you know. But at the end of the day, every day, no matter how much Jennifer Love Hewitting I do, I'm on point. I'm on purpose. I don't stray. When it comes to that question, how do I be in service as an artist? I'm not confused. Just look at this magic in my hands. Look at how much it has to offer. Look at what a revolutionary offer it is. I'm saying I have been through the literal ancestral muck duck to arrive here at this level of clarity and certainty. I'm not judging people who are confused. I'm saying I can help. I'm saying so many people are looking for who and how to be in this moment. I want you to know that wolf who stopped time, 'cause she knows. I'm saying I'm a revolutionary resource for humanity who isn't currently being resourced by humanity. Someone like me has no business wondering and worrying about how she's going to pay her dental bill. I say this in solidarity with countless artists whose revolutionary contributions were never recognized until after they died. In solidarity with so many revolutionary healers whose names we will never know. The erasable women and the untitled poems. The underground witches whose magic not only powered our most ferocious freedom movements, but who literally are the reason why humanity has survived up until this point at all. To those witches, I say, I love you. I know you. Solidarity with so many artists who never got their flowers while they were alive. I am 40 years old. I don't want that for me. I want at least 40 more good years ahead of me. How do we repair the field of manifestation for global freedom? I already told you in the title of the episode that I haven't said yet. The sentence in that script that each character keeps repeating again and again. I know her. Title, The Wolf Who Stopped Time. Subtitle, I know her. Our problem is recognition. And it's also the repair. Some of the people on the planet and ancestors who have the most resources for humanity are the ones who are the most under-resourced and under-recognized. Those are the ones we turn away from because we're too busy. Doing what? Trying to solve things? Then the ones who have the answers, who have gone through deep ancestral initiations, deep ancestral retrieval and recovery, the ones coming out of a terrifying underworld journey with flying colors and overwhelming success full of ancestral wealth, those are the ones who get depleted and drained until they disappear before their time? without completing their full orbit? If those are the ones who can't complete their full orbit, then the Earth cannot either. That's what's broken. This is the repair. Repair is for us to give recognition, respect, and reciprocity to that which will truly resource us. To do that, we have to collectively shift in recognizing the full entire creative process that powers everything we do, and then be in good relationship with where our power truly comes from. Most of us on this life path, including me, have places where we need to receive more recognition and places we need to give more recognition. Those of us on this life path know that our job is already hard enough. The life path itself needs to be respected, recognized, and reciprocated. We need more rest, more support. We need to worry less about money so that we can focus on retrieving, remembering, developing, and delivering our medicine to the best of our capability. We need more celebration, fun, laughter, connection, and levity. We need to sit at tables where the full capacity of our grief is welcome, and where our ancestral prowess is not a threat. We need reverence on the job we do, and we need money on our names. So that's my public service announcement for humanity and my 3-month collective artist fundraiser dedicated to the principle, heal yourself, heal your lineages, and heal the world. I am looking for the first 15 people who are pumped and ready to join this campaign today. Come study with me this incredible medicine that I hold. Come learn and unlearn and get nerdy with self-study, global study, multiverse study, all in dedication to these 3 words in our lifetime. Follow along. A lot of it is out here in public for free. If you want to get the most out of the medicine, go ahead and grab yourself a VIP backstage pass. 3 months of exclusive content, twice a month ancestor office hours, and most importantly, connection to an ancestor's writer's room who is certain that you will find exactly what you need to thrive. Because that's what they promised me, and that's what they promised the world. And we don't play around with our promises. With a backstage pass, not only do you get to learn so much, you get the option of sharing what you learn with others and then getting paid for it. Sounds like a win-win. Sounds like one small way to repair the field of manifestation for global freedom. Please check out the show notes to find all the links to everything you need. Oh, but wait! This episode was a mere part 1! I have a whole entire part 2 for you on this topic. Turns out it cannot be answered in 1 episode. In part 2, I'll tell you about what happened between my future partner and I in the quantum energy field last night and what that has to do with manifesting global freedom. I'll also tell you about my practice in decolonizing astrology and decolonizing the dream world by taking you through a dream I had and unlocking its ancestral teachings. In this dream, I was hiding in my house, like I was hiding behind my curtains. But my teacher was across the street and she clocked me. She said, "Shanga, get over here. Code blue." Code blue? What does that mean? All in part 2, my friends. Same cat channel, same cat time. Part 2 is coming out soon. I don't know, maybe probably in the next few days. Really this time, I swear. Until then, be brave. Be a giant. Oh, wait, I forgot to tell you my name. My name is Shanga, and I am celebrating 40 years of service, forward and backward.